From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Christ the Mighty Conqueror, part of a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please give your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, From Fetters Free. The text is found in Psalm 146 and verse 7, The Lord looseth the prisoner. He has done it. Remember Joseph, Israel in Egypt, Manasseh, Jeremiah, Peter, and many others. He can do it still. He breaks the bars of brass with a word and snaps the fetters of iron with a look. He is doing it. In 1,000 places, troubled ones are coming forth to light and enlargement. Jesus still proclaims the opening of the prison to them that are bound. At this moment, doors are flying back and fetters are dropping to the ground. He will delight to set you free, dear friend, if at this time you are mourning because of sorrow, doubt, and fear. It will be a joy to Jesus to give you liberty. It will give him as great a pleasure to loose you as it will be a pleasure to you to be loosed. No, you have not to snap the iron band. The Lord himself will do it. Only trust him, and he will be your emancipator. Believe in him in spite of the stone walls or the manacles of iron. Satan cannot hold you. Sin cannot enchain you. Even despair cannot bind you. If you will now believe in the Lord Jesus, and in the freeness of His grace, and the fullness of His power to save, defy the enemy, and let the word now before you be your song of deliverance. Jehovah looseth the prisoners. One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Taking chapter 11 of Joshua as his text, Dr. Cairns is pointing out a number of parallels between Joshua and our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that Joshua's mission was a picture of what Christ had to accomplish here on earth. Each one had a great mission, to secure the promised land and to lead God's people into it. Joshua's conquest of the heathen Canaanites is a picture of Christ's triumph over his enemies. Both Joshua and Christ faced mighty opposition. While Joshua faced human foes, the Lord Jesus contended with all the powers of hell. With invincible might, Christ defeated the prince of darkness. The passage records Joshua's adherence to the commands which Moses had given regarding the land. Similarly, the Lord Jesus honored the law of God as he undertook to accomplish salvation for his people. By his death on the cross, Christ earned a perfect righteousness for all who trust in him, so that the demands of the law were met fully. Now to continue this message, Christ the Mighty Conqueror, here is Dr. Cairns.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Death could not hold its prey. He tore the bars away, and up from the grave he arose. Never let those words lose their vital freshness. Never let this truth lose its New Testament importance and power in your life. This is the very Gibraltar of Christianity. This is the great impregnable rock upon which every fury of the enemy must spend itself and finally be defeated. Christ is risen. He defeated death. We're told by Peter in Acts 2:24, it was not possible that he should be holden of death. It was not possible that death could continue its grip on him who is the Prince of Life. I quoted already from Hebrews 2 that Christ took part of flesh and blood in order that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Christ has changed the tomb forever for all his people. He has changed death forever for all his people. For those who believe in Christ, death is no longer the sentence of God against them. It is no longer the first installment of the wrath of God in the second death, in outer darkness and alienation from God in hell. Death has lost its sting because to the believer it is now but the exit from this world and the entrance into glory. Jesus Christ has conquered death itself. And as Joshua faced great giants, so did the Savior. All the burden and guilt of our sin opposed him. Every sin was a giant he had to slay, or a crime whose punishment he had to drink. He bore our sins. He shouldered their enormous burden. He took on himself their awful guilt. He paid by his own blood their dreadful penalty. He didn't wilt under that load. He didn't shirk the terrible suffering. No, he was manifested to take away our sins. And so he did. Those sins were giant sins. They were damning sins. They were sins that marked us with the mark of the wrath of God forever. Thank God Christ did not stop short of a complete victory over sin. For as Peter says, he his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Once in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Not only that, but he did so in a very particular manner, as our Bible reading illustrates. Joshua's careful fulfillment of the commands of Moses pictures Christ's satisfaction of the law. Notice how Joshua chapter 11 keeps repeating Joshua's obedience to Moses. Verse 12, the last line, he utterly destroyed them as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Verse 15, he left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 20, the last line, that he might destroy them as the Lord commanded Moses. And then verse 23, Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses. Now, those are not accidental references. Those are important things. When the Lord keeps repeating something, it is that we should give attention to it. Joshua not only defeated Jabin and his hosts, he not only took possession of the land, but he did so in a way that honored the law. He did so in perfect compliance to the commands of Moses the lawgiver. And in that he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly satisfied the law. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." As he started out his ministry, he said to John the Baptist, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Think of the testimony of the New Testament on this matter. Galatians 4:4, Christ was made under the law. Romans 5:19, as by one man's disobedience many were made or constituted sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made or be constituted righteous. You see, this is Christ's satisfaction of the law. Thus, when he died on the cross, he silenced forever the law's condemnation of his believing people. Colossians 2:14 tells me that Christ blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. What's that talking about? It's talking about the law of God. What was the handwriting of ordinances? The Ten Commandments, the moral law, every single line of which condemns the sinner. People who tell me that they're trying to keep the Ten Commandments in order to get to heaven are telling me they know nothing about the gospel. The surest way to hell is to say, I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments to get to heaven. Keeping the Ten Commandments is impossible. There's not one person here who has not come under condemnation as a breaker of the law of God. Doesn't matter how religious you are, what church you belong to, where you've been baptized, how you've been baptized, you have not been a keeper of God's law, but a breaker of God's law. And if we offend in one point, James tells us, we are guilty of all. Lawbreakers. The voice of the law is a voice that clamors for judgment. The law of God cannot allow sin to go unpunished. God cannot simply overlook sin, pretend it never happened. He cannot adopt some lighter attitude or some easier way of dealing with sin. God is infinitely holy and just, and his entire nature demands that sin be fully punished. Thank God, Christ, our great Redeemer, our substitute, our sacrifice, stood bearing the guilt of our sin. As the head to the body, so Christ our head bore all that the body deserved. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Can I put this to you very simply? God has not forgotten his law. God has not abrogated his law, even for a Christian. But for a Christian, listen to me carefully, the only place God sees his law is nailed to the cross. Christ. There, satisfaction was complete. There, righteousness in all its perfection not only met the standard of the law's precept, but paid the full price of its penalty, and so satisfied it. As Joshua was careful to do what Moses commanded, so the Lord Jesus Christ fully satisfied the law. I want to tell you today that that is the genius and the glory of the gospel. That's what sets this gospel apart from every religion of man and every theory and every theology of man. Across the world today, millions are doing their best to please God and thus earn salvation. It can't be done. It cannot be done. If you have come into this meeting this morning under the delusion that you can do something to earn your way to heaven, to make an impression on God so that God will love you and God will receive you. I want you to be disabused of that idea without delay, for it will surely wreck and ruin your soul. It's no gospel to tell a sinner already dead in sin, keep the law and you'll get to heaven. What gospel is that? It's not good news. That's bad news. But oh, I want to tell you the good news. Christ died for our sins. Christ rose again because He had accomplished our justification. Christ's power is saving power because He has fully satisfied the law. As Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for or unto righteousness to everyone who believes. By believing in Jesus, you obtain a perfect righteousness, even His righteousness. And you stand complete before God in Him who has perfectly satisfied the law. And then finally, as a result, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills Joshua's final action in our Bible reading. Verse 23, Joshua's rest pictures Christ's rest. The land rested from war. Now here's a very interesting thing. Spiritually a very instructive thing. This is the end of Joshua's war. But read on in this book, and you'll find it was not the end of the children of Israel's battles. Joshua, in other words, won the victory, and he gave them the land. But the children of Israel had constant battles in order to enjoy that possession. There's the spiritual lesson. The Lord Jesus Christ has finished His work. He said on the cross, it's finished. Hebrews 10:12 says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He finished His work. He has entered into His rest. Hebrews 4 verse 10 says, He that has entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. That's a verse that has perplexed many people. I'm very, very tempted to take off on a tangent here and have a little homily on Hebrews chapter 4. I'm not going to really preach a sermon on it, but I can't miss this point. We live in a day when it is the glory of fundamental Bible-believing churches to say, we no longer believe in a Christian Sabbath. That's Old Testament. That's law. And I wonder who ever gave anybody the right to abrogate one of the Ten Commandments.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.